Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Everybody, and welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I have another special guest who is going to talk with me about something which is, I'm sure, is interesting for you, but we are doing very similar things in different ways, and so I thought it'd be good to have a chat about that on the podcast. So maybe you could start by introducing yourself. Welcome, it's good to see you again, and maybe you could tell us something about who you are and what you do.
Hi Kirsty, thank you so much for inviting me. So I'm Joana Lisboa, and I'm from Portugal, that's why the name, and I'm a vocal coach, so I help people to speak with confidence.
Yeah, so I think that's how we originally started talking. I must have seen one of your posts on LinkedIn and thought that was interesting because, you know, I've got this connection with people, their voice in English. With me, voice is not so much about the actual voice, but it's like finding your way to communicate and who you are and how you want to be perceived by others. But I was also interested in your story. So how did you get into vocal coaching? What were you doing before? Or why did you decide this is something that you want to do?
Well, it's a funny story, actually, Kirsty, because it actually started somehow by accident.
The best stories.
it started by accident when a friend of mine insisted on me giving her singing lessons. And at that time, I was just singing and taking some music and singing lessons for myself. But I wasn't a teacher. So I kept saying no until I finally gave in and I tried it out. And I couldn't have imagined that sharing my knowledge of vocal technique would bring me so much joy and so much pleasure. So that's how I realized I had found a new passion besides singing, that was the vocal coaching. So it started with singing lessons. Yeah.
And so do you make your coaches sing as well? Is singing part of what you do, or is it mainly speaking now?
No. That was the original skill that I started with. And then after that, after I realized it was an activity that I would like to pursue, I took some courses about communication with confidence. I done all the work I suggest in my courses. So I really understand what is being a shy person and have difficulties in transmitting what we want to say, actually. And so I done all the process that I suggest my clients and students to go through. And it was a turning point. At somehow, I was between jobs at the time, and suddenly that was the main thing that was happening in my life, giving that singing lesson. So I just put all my efforts to develop this vocal coach career, and I started. I just started. I didn't know how it would be and how it went, and I just put all my chips, you know, like poker in the middle and all in. And that's what I'm doing for the past 12 years now.
Wow, so you must still be enjoying it, though, otherwise you would have moved into something. But so you started with this idea and some techniques that you developed. How would you describe the person that you're best able to help? So who do you really enjoy working with?
Well, last year I started to focus a little bit more on companies and entrepreneurs. So every company that wants to promote their employees' level of communication or any entrepreneur that wants to build their communication skills. All these kind of people that are connected with the corporate world, I've been working more with them less in the past year. Yeah.
Okay, because
Before.
most jobs say, oh, you need good communication skills. But what is that actually? Like, we never really drill down into that. We just put it on the job description and say you need to be able to do that. But so much is based around that in terms of communicating with colleagues or with customers or.
Yes, all communication you do in your work time, with colleagues, with your team, with your boss, in meetings, in presentations, in speeches, because a lot of executive people, they need to speak to big teams and to reinforce the company culture, these kind of things that are more actual, they're very normal to happen in the moment. So people need to build this confidence while they speak, because they need to bring that motivation to people, to their teams, to their colleagues, to their clients, of course. Of course, it could be a client service, everything that involves communicating.
So do you mainly work with shy people, or do you find there are some outgoing people who find it hard to communicate well as well? Or how is that for you?
Shy people and outgoing people, they have different issues, but they both have issues communicating. Shy people, they need to build this confidence inside of them and realize that what they have inside, it's wonderful and it's so much so wealthy, but most of the times it's more easy to build that confidence in a shy people in shy people than in outgoing persons. They really feel that everything is okay.
So what's their challenge? What the outgoing
Yeah,
people?
that's a challenge. They speak too much, and sometimes they're not clear in their messages. And so this is one of the things I work with my clients, the ability of being concise and being assertive and being of course, authentic, bringing up your best features, but at the same time giving space to the other person and hearing the other person. So most of outgoing people, they most of them, they don't have like the active listening very like a skill, so they need to develop that, and also I can help with
Yeah,
that.
because that is an important skill, especially if it's anything that isn't a presentation with you just having a monologue, talking to people and not taking any questions afterwards. If you're engaging with people at all, then you need to be able to listen, because otherwise you're gonna miss the point, or you're not gonna understand what they need from you, or just how to behave, because you can learn a lot by your first interactions with someone else about how the best way will be to communicate with them. So you want to be authentic, but at the same time you also need to communicate in a way that's going to work in that situation or with that particular group or individual.
Yeah, for sure. And so they have different issues, but there's all I think all people need a little bit of vocal coaching. Because it's not just about communicating like in effective way. It's also knowing your voice. Because if you know your voice, you also know other people's voices too, and you can understand better other people. So these listening skills of just understanding why does a person does this or does that, with their voice. So it really reflects what they're feeling. And so because the voice is feeling, we can do the other way around. If we kind of control our feelings, not in an artificial way, of course, but like, because I want to feel confident. I just believe that I'm confident. So it's a work that really transforms people from the inside out. And people start to believe that what they have is enough, and the authenticity they have is enough. Even they if they learn new stuff about their voice, but it's gonna be like an extra. But what is really important is to believe in yourself. So I think my job is also making people believe in themselves and in their inner voice through the work of the out voice, the outside voice. I don't know if
Yeah,
it's clear.
and to be comfortable with that voice, I think as well. Like, so yeah, to be open and to be listening to your inner voice as well, but also to not be afraid of the voice that you have, because I know some people. I mean, I've been editing my own podcast for years now, and I'm used to hearing my voice, and I don't think, oh no, but so many people refuse to listen to their episode or don't want to hear their voice, but that's sad, because it's the only one you have. You can train it, you can work with it, but it's your voice and it's part of you. So I work with people who are learning English or improving their English, but sometimes people say they don't even want to hear their voice in their first language. And I think, well, if we can somehow try to get past this fear of listening to ourselves or hearing ourselves, then we can really start to discover more about ourselves and our voice and how we communicate.
Yes, it's a profound work.
Yeah,
And we have to really be able to record ourselves. We need to record, hearing, and just go, like you said, go to that point that you don't, you hear your voice like it's another person's voice.
And to
That's
keep doing it
the
whilst.
point you want. That's the stage you want. It's when you hear your voice and think, oh, that wasn't bad. Oh, maybe I can do this or that. But just like you were listening to other person. So I think that's the stage that we all should be. And because maybe I don't know how it is in England, but in Portugal, there's no connection with this in school, so no one teaches how to speak or to sing or so there's no connection with this part of us, but it's present in all the time, in every aspect of your life. Your voice is the first thing people pay attention. It's your voice. So your voice reflects your personality.
Yeah, and if you have multiple languages, you probably have multiple personalities as well in the languages, but also with your voice and how you use your voice. One of my clients was saying the other day that she heard me speaking German for the first time because we were just chatting after the session in German, and she said, "My voice is different. It's lower, the rhythm is different, and it's probably the voice that I will have for German now." But I also know that, for example, my Portuguese teacher said that I had to write a text, and then she said, "I don't want to see your text. I want you to record that." Oh, no. And I must have done that stupid text like 5 or 10 times to get this recording finished. And then the next week she said the same thing. I was like, "Oh, I cannot be spending the next hour on recording this text." So it was faster, but I still didn't enjoy it. But I understand why she wanted it to happen, because it was, desensitizing myself to listening to this. Because in English it's okay, in German it's okay, but I think with every new language, it's like the process, you start again with getting used to your voice speaking the other language.
And to get to that point that you are already you again, it takes a while.
It
So
does.
my course is about 2 months. It takes a while, but the results are visible.
And
And the
audible.
transfer, and the transformation really occurs. And it's a transformation that you don't go back. You just keep on going through your consciousness, vocal consciousness process. So you just keep on going. And of course, some people they stop there. They don't want more. I have a passion for this, so I go more and more and more deep, but just that those sessions are enough to transform, and that's my aim, to transform people to be themselves. It's not really a transformation because it's already
It's
there.
already there, but it's discovering it, unlocking it, then letting it out to be.
Unlocking, yes, unleashing, yes. Like my website, unleash your vocal power. So it's something that it's there already, and it's not something you really learn. You just d rediscover again, because a lot of times when we are kids, we know how to do the exercises I suggest, but then life happens
Yeah, I
and.
was that child that would never stop speaking when I was, but and now I do still talk a lot, but there are times when I just shut down and won't speak and won't. But that's, we learn that. That's not part of who we are. It comes later.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel that our voice is like the thing that Play-Doh, that the thing that kids play with, paste. I don't know how you call it,
Play-Doh
like
is right. It's the thing you can make models
Play-Doh.
and yeah.
Yeah, it works. It's our voice is like Play-Doh. We can put in any form we want. The more you know your voice, the more forms you can do with that paste, And it's amazing to understand that you're not going outside of you, you're just expanding what you think you are. And that's voice work. It's expansion inside of you. It's not really, and sometimes people say, but that looks like a character. And I just say, okay, it's a character, but it lives inside of you.
I think it's intention as well. If you're trying to be someone you're not, then that is gonna, people will be able to see through that. And it maybe does look like a character, but if it's just a part of yourself that you haven't really given space to or discovered yet, then that's different. That does have more integrity than just trying to be what you other people think you should be or how you think you should be in order to be taken seriously or listened to.
Yes.
Finding out
But
who's in there.
there's a lot of prejudice. Prejudice, I think
Yeah.
it's what's the word, about what we should be. Yes. And especially women. Women shouldn't misbehave or do funny voices like this, And this freedom that comes to you when you access to a certain freedom that is very, very refreshing when you know your voice.
And sometimes those limits, we they may have come from somewhere else, but we put them on ourselves as well, I guess. And then we live with those limits until we don't, until we decide that we don't want to. I mean, I think that's true what you say about women. I also think like people have certain ideas or maybe a bit less confidence. Me as a speaker of additional languages, I would try things in English that I maybe wouldn't try. I think it's good to develop your voice in all of the languages that you have available, but it's certainly something that I noticed with some of my clients, for example, who were a bit like, They aren't necessarily shy people, because I wouldn't say that I'm an introvert. I wouldn't say I'm shy, but I become that way when I lose confidence, and I lose confidence if I'm not really sure of what I'm saying. And then I know there have been times when my whole voice has changed to reflect that. And if that's the first time somebody met me, that's all they know of who I am. And that's not fair, because that's not a true representation. So there's discovering your voice anyway, and there's also making sure that when you use your voice in other languages, that it's also in alignment with who you are and who you want to be.
Yes, the freedom of being ourselves.
So what kind of mistakes do people make? Like what beliefs that aren't true? What kind of mistakes do people make with their voices, or when they're doing public speaking, or when they're involved? What have you seen some common things that people do that could be done differently?
Many people that seeks my service, there are experts in their own fields, so of knowledge. But despite this inner wealth, they struggle a little bit to communicate clearly and with assertiveness and with empathy in their meetings and presentations and speeches. So this lack of knowledge of their voice affects the way they deliver things. And also because they feel they need to be another person to deliver a good speech, and not what they have inside it's enough. And I think that's really it's something that can be avoided when you work on your voice. And you become more your message becomes more clear, because you know your voice and you know what to do with your voice. That made sense.
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's also how people are used to communicating, because say people feel that they have to be someone else. It often happens, I think, when people are maybe not used to doing this thing. They have to do something, maybe they get a new job where they have to be more visible, and then they have to do more presentations. Or, for example, I'm doing more work with translators at the moment, who are very, very articulate individuals, but they mainly work with writing, with texts. And then suddenly they have to present something at a conference. And for some people, that's fine. But for some people who haven't had to do so much public speaking, or in my case, as an English trainer, who haven't had to do it in English, then it's like a new thing. So it's not their usual preferred way to communicate, because, for example, they would prefer to write. So it's learning how to come across as yourself when you're speaking, and not just when you're writing.
Yes. They have to find themselves in their voice before they present themselves. I think it makes a lot of sense. And this richness that people have when they write, oh my God, this is so rich. But when they start talking, is so different, so different.
And sometimes you think, is that the same person who wrote this and who I'm now speaking to on a call? Or, but yeah, we have to find that way to be authentically us in either writing or speaking, if that's part of our job, or to focus on the thing that we prefer and we do best. But I think it's good to train the other skills as well, because you never know when you're going to need them.
Of course, and it's more needed in this world that we live now than before. I think before there could be like an introvert, like a writer, or this types of personality. They could live almost a whole life without leaving their house, just writing and doing their stuff. But now, even introverts, they have to communicate, because they have teams, they have book releases, they have these kind of things, that events that they need how to they need to understand how they gonna present themselves to the public, even if it's very simple, but like a simple and clear way. And their own way, but they have to do it. So
Yeah, if you're a business owner or a freelancer, you've got services to sell. You know, you need to make relationships, you need to have connections with people. So, and I think that's one of the first lessons I learned as a business owner, that it's not just about the service that you have or what you can offer people, it's all the other things you have to do as well in order to facilitate that, to find customers, to build relationships, and being able to speak with confidence makes that a whole lot easier.
yeah. We're not talking about social media, because if we start talking about that, the importance of the voice, and also about what you look like, unfortunately. But the voice is also the first thing people detect in your posts and videos and these kind of things. So I think in this virtual global world, I think the voice is very, very, very important. Of course, all the other soft skills and hard skills that you can know, it's amazing, but knowing your voice is knowing yourself. Yes.
You mentioning social media, I'm just thinking about that I saw a post, one of your posts on LinkedIn about public speaking and your journey with public speaking. I think you did a course, or do you want to tell a bit more about that experience?
Yes, I think you're talking about Toastmasters, no? Yes. I had I don't know if you can say this in English, but cognitive dissonance. You know what it means?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it means. You can say it in English, but you need to explain.
It's like when you know that you should have this kind of experience, but you don't have. And it's like a lack in your own life that you need to fill up. So I had this feeling that I was helping other people to have like wonderful public speaking events and to be confident in their own voices. And in my own experience, I was kind of limited to college presentation, work meetings, singing and acting in stages, you know, public speaking, it wasn't really what I was doing, like in a regular basis. So I decided to roll into Toastmasters, which is a club with 100 years old that promotes public speaking and also building confidence in leadership. That's what I was looking for, the word leadership. So leadership and public speaking, that's it. And so I started going to their meetings, and I learned so much. And with my first speech, because the main goal is to present speeches, and now and then the fellow companions, I don't know how you say, the member club, the club members, they give you feedback, and so you grow with that, and that's the main goal with the Toastmasters. And because I have like this dream of going to TED talk stage, I have this dream. So since the beginning of TED Talks, I wonder, maybe one day I'm gonna be there.
Do you have your topic yet, or are you still thinking about it? Do you have a plan?
Well, I think anything that goes that has to do with voice, because voice really needs to I think people need to speak more about voice and the importance of voice. But I don't know, I don't have the topic yet, but it's about that. It's
Well,
about, and there are amazing TED Talks about this topic already, but I think I would it would be another view, you know, my view about.
Yeah, you said it on a podcast. Now it's real. You've put it out into the world that you want to do this. So I will be coming back to find out how that went in a
Yes,
few
and so those clusters is really helping me to get that dream come true, you know. And yeah, it's been a very interesting process until now. I'm here. I'm there for half a year right now, and it's been very nice. Very nice. I recommend to everyone.
Yeah, I mean it does exist here. I haven't been to any of the meetings, but I've heard about it, both in Portugal and here and in other places too. So it sounds like an international organization.
Yes.
Do you choose the topics? So if you're gonna give a talk about something, can you choose what that would be, or are you given a subject to talk about?
There are some presentation that you need to go on a specific topic, but most of the times it's to the way you present that it's more important. That like you tell the story. Can you tell a story? Is the audience completely wow and connected with you? You know, this type of things that we work on. So most of the times the topic is not so important, but it's also important at the same time. I don't know if I
Yeah, because if they're going to connect with you and it's a ridiculous topic, they're not going to connect with you. So it has to be something that
that's
gets
it. That's
people's
it.
attention. And how long are they? So if you're going to do a talk there, how long is each talk?
They're very short. They're like most of the times they're 4 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's like some bigger ones, like 20 minutes, and it's more like a mentorship, like a way of presenting content to other members
Okay.
to develop some skills. It's like a learning moment. Yes,
For
learning
them
moment.
or for you or for both?
Well, I gave already a learning moment about breathing,
Okay.
but I also received some learning moments, and it's about the club, about you know, a lot of stuff going on in the club. It's very, very diverse. The things that happen, they're very diverse and interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you get to meet lots of different people as well, which is also enriching to hear other people's experience and to learn from them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's been a wonderful experience until now. Yeah,
And you did that in Portuguese or?
we have most of the times it's Portuguese, and the second week of each month we have an English session, a session.
Okay, so yeah, I
And
mean,
you can also go to that meeting because it's also online.
this is which maybe I mean, yeah, I would like to. Do you have to speak if you go?
Well, you speak a little bit, but you can choose the second week of
But
the
you don't have to go, like you don't have to present if you've never been before and you don't know what's going to happen.
No
Okay.
presenter, but you need to speak a little
Oh, the
bit.
speaking's fine. I thought you meant like you have to show up with the presentation and you haven't seen it. Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
That would be
Oh,
very scary.
that would be scary, but I was thinking about like some of my customers would find that very interesting. I mean, I would find that very interesting in Portuguese as well because like that's additional information for me to learn and to listen. But yeah, I mean, I guess because it's an international organization, if there are people listening to the podcast who are learning other languages too, I know there are some German learners here as
Yes.
podcast listeners that yeah, they can probably find something online if there's nothing in their city or if it's easier to do it online in any language. It's something that can be used for other languages too to improve them
Yes,
skills.
I'm sure you can do that also. Yes. Usually they just speak a little bit with the guests because they want to know a little bit about the guests, so they speak with the guests. That's what happens with the guests.
Like an
But
introduction, like who you are and what you're doing there.
and how you found the club and this kind of questions, so they're very simple. Everyone can attend.
That sounds fun. Okay. And so what advice, if you had to give the listeners one piece of advice or one or two, like at the end, what they can do for their voice or for themselves and their voice today, like one simple thing, what would you tell them?
I would say that imagine like in a speech or like a presentation that most of people that have these moments in their life, of course, being well prepared is very, very important. But just being in the present moment, I think, is the most good advice I can give.
I really
When
like that.
Just being there and just enjoying the process of just sharing what they already know very well. Because they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be invited to speak if they didn't know anything about that issue, that matter. So, and also don't be afraid of your characteristics. Imagine that you use a lot of times one word, or you do like a certain type of gesture, or the way you speak is the way you are. So don't be afraid of embracing that. So your authenticity, what makes you? Because the people don't want perfect people. They just want a person to connect. So if you can do that, I think it's important when you're presenting something or speaking, just speaking with someone in a coffee shop,
But yeah, in life in general, like the importance of being present, being here now. I'm not thinking, I know some of the people that I work with, and even me as well. I've over-prepared for things, thinking too much about what might happen, what did happen last time, what might happen in the future. But really, that's wasted time, and you're missing now. You're missing what's happening now if you're focusing too much on what happened before or what might happen in the future. It's, this is now is the moment we have. So let's make the most of it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean that applies to life in general anyway, but it's especially relevant for us today talking about our voice. So yeah, I don't want to move away from that. I want to leave that as our final comment for people to think about. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I'll add all your links and the links to your website and your social media to our page on my website. And yeah, thank you for sharing your knowledge with us and for being here today. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. See you soon.
See you soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.